Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. Today we are on the third Aliyah of Behalotcha for Tuesday. Today, the Torah talks about, interesting enough, the Pesach offering in the wilderness and Pesach Sheni. Interesting enough, of the Pesach offering in the wilderness is one of the proofs, Pesach is one of the proofs that the Exodus actually happened. Why? Because as we mentioned during Shavuos, right, that one of the main, another proof is that we claim mass revelation. We're the only religion, ideology that says all of us saw it, not one person told us or a group of people. The whole nation saw it. And if that had been the case and it hadn't been true, we would have said, we would have held ourselves kind of been like, no, we weren't there. We didn't see that. We've been passing this down from generation to generation. Another thing is Pesach. Pesach, the very first Pesach, was the Pesach where we were taken out of Mitzrayim. The very next year was the first Pesach where we sat there and we did the Pesach offering and told the story, all these things. Anyways, if it hadn't been true, the very second year we would have been like, no, 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 that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Right? So, and here we are 3,336 years later, and we're still doing Seder. We're still doing Shavuos. But the interesting thing is that that very first retelling of Pesach, that very first year, where I guess now I'm sure it's changed a lot, but that Seder, so to speak, that was the only time we did it in the wilderness. We only did it once in the wilderness. Which is interesting. But that's not what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is mentioned here. And there's a couple of important parts here to talk about. One of them is that this happened, why? Because the people had been tameh, they had been impure, they had been contaminated. Something happened along the way on the derech, right? Another thing interesting here is that Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is mentioned here in this Torah portion. And this was something where initially Hashem had said, hey, these are for the people. This is when you're supposed to do it. Pesach offering happened at this time. And the people, they came and they complained to Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, yo, what was going on? Wait, look at us. We were busy doing a mitzvah, another mitzvah. We were tending to dead corpses. We were tending to Yosef HaTzadik. There were other things going on. We weren't able to make it. We weren't eligible to be able to eat from the Pesach offering on that day. What, we should lose out on this opportunity for this mitzvah? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, stand here and wait. Imdu v'eshma. Imdu v'eshma. Ma yitzaveh Hashem lachem. Imdu v'eshma. Stand in here. And what happens? Hashem comes back. He says, to speak to the children of Israel, the Ben Ben Israel, Lemo, Ish Ish Ki Echeta Me, Le Nefesh, O Bederech, Le Choka Lachem, O Le Dorseichem, Ve Asa Pesach La Hashem. Right? So if anybody from the children of Israel, if a man had become contaminated through a human corpse or on a distant road, Bederech Le Choka, throughout your generations. Now you have the second chance. You have a second chance. You can bring it now on the next month at that time. Wow, what a chiddush. And it comes to bring us a couple things. What was this distant road, right? It means that they didn't have enough time to get back by noon when the offering would be made. But also, we ourselves, in today's day and age are on a distant road. We're on a very distant road where we seem very, very far from Hashem, very, very far from Kedusha, very, very far from times of Moshiach, very far. We live in such an upside-down world. Anybody with even a little bit of seichel is seeing how crazy since October 7th happened, how crazy the world is upside down. We're very, very far. We seem like we're so far. We seem like we don't have any chance, God forbid. And we ourselves are like these people that we feel as though we miss out on opportunities. Well, we learn in recovery that your normal addict is somebody who thinks that they're the biggest piece of shit that the world, Addicts have a tendency, we learn in recovery that addicts have a tendency to believe that they're the biggest pieces of trash that the world ever revolved around. Right? They go between these two very, very swing pendulums of they're the greatest thing that ever happened and they're the worst thing that ever happened. And it's not such a bad concept in and of itself. The problem is that they never actually find balance until you fill that God-sized hole and are able to become that leader, become that mentor, become that Moshe Rabbeinu. But specifically, we see in today's day and age, there's two types of people. We're talking about at large in the Jewish world. There historically had been people who did not care about Torah mitzvahs and said, ah, whatever, it's not that important. And then when a person comes to find out that it is important, they go to the nth degree. Right, so this lesson of Pesach Sheni comes to teach us a couple things. First and foremost, we are the people on the distant road. Right, when it says, Derech Rechoka, right? It means specifically somebody who was during temple times, during offering times, would be too far a distance away to be able to make it by noon when the offering was made, so they weren't present. But now that we don't have a tabernacle, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we're awaiting it. We sometimes feel as though there's no hope for us. How far are we from Hashem? Where are we? What's going to happen to us? Moshiach is really coming. We see that the world is really upside down. Since October 7th, we're seeing how off the wall everything is and how we wonder how is it ever going to get back in alignment. And Hashem comes and says, no matter how far you are, I can bring you back. No matter what reason why it is that you're there, it can bring you back. The main thing is to want to come back. Right, Rabbi Nachman talks about that these people were richly impure at the time, but they never stopped seeking rectification. Right, that we shouldn't be people who are, whatever, who cares anyways. God made it up, or the rabbis made it up, or who says that we have to do it, or God loves you anyways. God loves you anyways doesn't mean that you don't have to do anything. Just like as a parent can understand, a parent can love their kids unconditionally. It doesn't mean that if you tell the kid to clean their room, that you're not going to be upset if they don't clean their room. Of course, you love them. It's not going to make you not love them. But you'd be upset if they don't clean the room. Same thing. So people, they take this lax attitude and they say, whatever. Right, so the main thing is yearning, seeking rectification. Knowing that, yes, we may be far, and also not to think, I'm so bad, I'm always so bad. But to know that, okay, fine, we have things to fix. We have character defects. We have things that are not where they should be, not as they should be. And I want to be better. I want to get better. What are the things that are making me do? Rashi says that it was specifically revealed to those who were impure. Right, that specifically the highest revelations sometimes come through the people that seem to be the farthest. And we talk about during the disruption of Beis HaMikdash that if you think about a wall and the highest stones that are placed on the very, very tippy top, when the wall is destroyed, toppled over, those highest stones are going to be the farthest from the base of the wall. And that's what happens today. That it seems like there's Jews out there, there's people out there, and there's no hope for them, Chas v'Shalom. And a person may think about them that about themselves. And the opposite is actually true, that those people that seem the farthest are actually the people who are coming with the most light, that are coming with these hidushim, that are coming with these ways, because they are able to see more aspects of the world other people weren't. The main thing is to yearn to be there, to yearn to be back, to yearn to make your way back. That if we can yearn to make our way back, not only will we make our way back, not only is Hashem opening the way back for us, but we'll be coming with great gifts that nobody else could have brought down. And the second aspect is this. Once we make our way back, and even on our way back, even before we made our way back, Rabbi Bimelech Moshe Rabbeinu said, Imdu ve'eshma. So they just say, wow, isn't that a little chutzpahdik to say, hey, stand here and hear what Hashem is going to say to you. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was the greatest prophet of all time. Not only that, but he believed that him and Hashem had an amazing relationship. And they could, whatever they needed to do, they could work it out. And this is the way that we need to have our relationship with Hashem. That we also need to have confidence in our prayer. We have to have so much confidence in our prayer, knowing that Hashem loves us, knowing that Hashem wants to hear our prayer, knowing that Hashem is helping us along the way. And to not think like, oh, I'm so far, who wants to hear from me? Hashem doesn't want to hear from me. No, to say, Hashem, what do we got to do over here? I know you want to hear my prayer. Thank you, Hashem Barak, that you believe in my prayer. Thank you, Hashem Barak, that all my prayers are going to come true, that you're going to put the words in my mouth. Thank you, Hashem, for everything that I'm davening on is going to happen. I believe in you, Hashem Barak. I believe you're the King of the universe. I believe that you're helping to put these words of prayer in my mouth, and that this very act of praying is actually the first step towards the revelation of this aspect in fruition and reality. Right? And when we combine these two teachings here, where we are always yearning to come back to Hashem, and we believe in our prayer, no matter how far we've gone, that we always know that we're there, we're within reach, that Hashem loves us, Hashem wants to bring us back, and Hashem is listening to us, and we're putting in the action, putting in the work to make it happen, we can take it to the bank, and there's always a second chance, there's always a way to happen. We're going to see how all the people, no matter how far they are, no matter what's happening, they're going to come back with the highest gifts, the highest revelations, the highest goodness in the whole world, highest hadushim. And we're seeing this way, really, the whole world had a purpose, every single person had a purpose, Jew and non-Jew, and we're all coming together to have that purpose fulfilled in the oneness and unity of the Zerampin, of this prototypical person expressed in the rebuilding of the Third Temple, expressed in Moshiach Tzidkenu, in our generation, in our time, speedily, right away. Chaim.